I am no fool to give what I cannot keep to gain with you. All of eternity, so I press on, forgetting what I leave behind. I count the cost, and you are worth it every time. So keep the cross always before my eyes. Never fix my gaze on the eternal prize. Your truth to my heart and mind, the cross always before me. Oh, 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 oh. Let the chains of sin have no hold on me, so I may run this race in victory. No wasted time, this life will soon be gone. Though I will fall, oh, in my weakness you are strong, yeah. So keep the cross always before my eyes. Ever fix my gaze on the eternal prize. My gaze on the eternal prize. Oh, and by your truth to my heart and mind, the cross always before. Keep the cross always before my eyes. Never fix my gaze on the eternal prize. Oh, and by your truth. Father, let that be true today for all of us, that the cross and eternity would always be before us, that we'd be focused on you, and not just today, God, but in our lives forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Man, excited to be back. Grateful that we were able to get away last week and go and lead worship in Texas. And yes, everything really is bigger in Texas. It's crazy. But we got the privilege of doing that. Thank you to all the band and James for filling in on drums. I hear they did a great job, so thank you guys. How many of you, you know, that song is talking about keeping our lives and our minds, our hearts focused on what really matters. How many of you would admit this morning that that's kind of a struggle every day? Like, all saying always focused and always ready to live for Christ and being aware of things that impact eternity. How many of you would say, I do that every single hour of every single day? Right? And how many of you would say, like, I struggle with that every single hour of every single day, right? That's me. Like, I'm like, man, I want that. And that's why I love opening with that song, is because that's what we want. But we don't just want that while we're here. We want that for our lives. And so one of the purposes of coming to church at all is to get away from all the stuff, all the busyness, all the distractions, come together as believers, as followers of Jesus, refocus our hearts, refocus our minds on Him. We refocus on what matters. Spend some time together with one voice lifting up praises to God Almighty because He is God Almighty and He's worthy. And lifting up praises because He was willing to send His own Son, Jesus, to come and die as a sacrifice for our sins. And on the third day, He rose from the grave, conquering both sin and death for us. And so we are here this morning to come together as one, as a family, and praise Him, to refocus our lives on Him, to worship Him with everything that we've got. And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to spend some time celebrating what Jesus has done for us. Y'all good with doing that this morning? We want to celebrate the sacrifice that He made, celebrate His death, burial, and resurrection, and what it means for us. And so this morning, we're going to do that together. We just invite you to come and worship with us as we lift high the name of Jesus Christ, the only one who is worthy of our praise.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bows and drenched in tears, they laid Him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all
forever. that one more time, church. Because we're going to be singing this forever. Let's just join with creation and lift up the name of Jesus.
been my life. That's when death was a less than my life.
Man. Praise Jesus. Amen. Amen. So excited to worship together for us, as I was saying earlier, for us to come together and refocus our hearts and our minds on Jesus, because there's so much in our world pulling for our attention, so much to distract us, and it's good to come together as a family and focus on Jesus. Amen. Focus our lives, be ready to worship Him, not just here, but as we leave from here, worshiping Him with our lives. And we want to do that not just by what happens up here on the platform, but we want to be a family that helps each other focus our lives, to encourage us in our walks. So I want to give you just a second to turn to those around you. Don't just say hi, but speak some words that are going to encourage people in their faith and point them to Jesus.
Well, good morning, church. Let's try that one more time. I know you're still greeting, fellowshipping, and encouraging the people around you. So if you'll make your way back to your seat.
Amen.
And we'll try it one more time. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're so thankful that you're here today to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at Ridgecrest. We hope you're having a great weekend. And again, thank you for taking time to worship with us. If you're a guest of ours this morning, I want to say a special welcome to you. Maybe today's the first time at Ridgecrest, or the first time you've been here in a long time. I'd love for you to take out your worship folder. It looks like this. Again, any guest of ours today. And in the back of that worship folder, there's a card called our guest card. And we would love for you to fill that card out for us and give us some information about you and your family so that we could reach out to you in the days ahead and connect you to the life of our church. So the heart of our church and the mission of our church is to reach, build, and connect. And that's people to people, getting people involved with what God is doing here within Ridgecrest. And we want you to be a part of that. And so if you're a guest of ours, if you'll fill that card out, we would love for you to do that. And when you get it filled out, you can drop in the offering basket in a minute, but we would rather you take it to the Welcome Center, which are out the back doors and to the right, or this side door and to the left. And we have a gift bag for you. It looks like this little blue gift bag with all type of information and goodies inside of it for you to see and meet some of our staff members out there at the Welcome Center and connect with some volunteers, and they'll give you this gift bag and give you more details about our church. So if you'll do that with your guest card, that would be great, and give our staff and our volunteers an opportunity to reach out in the days ahead. If everyone else would take a moment and look at your worship folder as well this morning, there's a lot that's happening in our church. And so there's specific things within recreation ministry, children's ministry, student ministry, church-wide events. We would love for you to look through this worship folder, put it on your refrigerator, mark your calendars so that you don't miss out on what God is doing in our church. And so take this home with you and make sure you do that. We're going to continue this morning our time in worship by giving back in just a moment as the guys come to pass the offering basket. So if you'll continue in worship with me in a heart of prayer as we go to the Lord right now and ask Him to bless this offering. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to come freely sit in a room with a heart of lifting high your name. God, I pray that everything that's already happened in this service and everything that will happen will continue to lift high the great name of Jesus. May you be glorified. May you be praised in every moment that we have during our time together today. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray in just a moment as James comes and teaches us from your word that you would anoint him, allow your Holy Spirit to speak through him. And God, as we hear from your word, strengthen us not just to be hearers, but also to be doers, of be obedient to what you're leading us to do. Father, I lift up this offering now as we give back to you as you've so richly given to us. God, strengthen us to give cheerfully and then multiply this offering as we give to you to continue to use our church to make the name of Jesus known to the nations. And God, again, above everything, we pray that you would guide and direct the days ahead as we put you first in all that we do. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jonathan, man. How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Oh, I got one person that's doing real good. How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Oh, that's a little better, a little better. If you will, turn in your Bibles to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 18. Gospel of John, chapter 18. I thank God for Pastor allowing me to fill the pulpit while he and Chuck are out in Dallas at the Southern Baptist Convention. Let us continue to be praying for them as they're there and as they travel back, but also let us be praying for our convention as well. Many of you probably heard some things, but just be praying that God will show up and show out. Also, Pastor, he sends his love to us all back here, and we're grateful for him. Also, we had VBS this past week. Amen. Yeah, we had, how many of y'all worked during VBS, like worked for VBS, volunteers and so forth? Thank y'all so much, all of y'all who pitched in and all the workers who served God through serving the little ones, and we are so grateful. We had 563 people on campus during this time, but that's not the best part. The best part is that we had 28 professions of faith. Yeah, so 28 decisions were made. Amen. So we're so grateful for all the workers who take their time out, and some even leave their jobs for that week for vacation and fill in and start serving in that way. Now, let me ask this question. How many of you liked going to the dentist when you were a kid? Oh, y'all have some warped people in here. Teasing. I hated going to the dentist as a kid. Now I like going now, of course, I mean, because I have a great dentist, but when I was a kid, I hated to go to the dentist. I had a problem, and this problem was that I love sweets.
You still do?
I still do, yeah. I do, and it was interesting. I'm getting ready to confess now, because after the service, I was getting some coffee, and I saw a donut sitting there, and took the donut. Sorry, baby. Don't get on me. But that donut was good. I love sweets. But I remember one day going to the dentist, and I heard those bad words. You have a cavity. Or in other words, tooth decay. See, tooth decay occurs when bacteria living in your mouth make acid that then begins to eat away at your teeth. Left untreated, tooth decay may cause infection, extreme pain, and loss of tooth or teeth. The decay process begins with the unnoticeable damage. See, we don't notice it at first. We're eating our sweets, we love it, you know. We don't notice the damage at first. But it begins with the unnoticeable damage to the enamel of your teeth and then steadily progresses to deeper layers of the tooth, eventually leading to the pulp. The pulp of your teeth contains highly sensitive blood vessels and nerves. Now, here are some causes of tooth decay. Number one, poor oral hygiene practices. Not only includes brushing your teeth but not flossing regularly, not brushing your tongue, and not using mouthwash. It's interesting. I never knew about brushing your tongue. I'll just be honest with you. Why are you laughing? I just brushed my teeth, you know. And my wife, when I met my wife, she would brush her tongue. I'm like, what are you doing? Apparently, you're supposed to do that. It's all good. So this is because neglecting to do, of course, your teeth that will cause that. Number two, deep tooth crevices and enamel issues. So this is one of the causes, deep tooth crevices and enamel issues. So individuals with enamel issues and who have deep crevices in their teeth are highly likely to have problems with tooth decay. This is because the deep crevices allow bacteria and plaque to easy access to grow. And proper nutrition is the next. Avoiding foods that are high in sugar, high in carbohydrates, and high in acid is the best way to avoid tooth decay due to improper nutrition. Another one, sugary foods. Sugary foods. They are the best friends of bacteria in your mouth. The bacteria in your mouth literally feed off sugary foods and then begin to coat your teeth in damaging acid. This can all happen in a matter of seconds and can occur several times over the course of just one meal, which is why it's important to brush your teeth after every meal to eliminate the acid. And that I have a problem with. I don't always necessarily brush my teeth after I eat. Now, I know some of you are probably looking at each other's mouths now, you know, like. But the whole point of this is that tooth decay is subtle and damaging over time. It is subtle and it is damaging over time. So it is the same with truth. Truth decay occurs when a culture exchanges God's truth for a lie. Truth decay occurs when a culture exchanges God's truth for a lie. Genesis 3:1 says, did God really say, this cunning serpent who was an instrument of Satan placed a thought, an idea in the mind of Eve that God seemed like a selfish and restrictive God? Hear my friends, truth here in this particular passage of Genesis was compromised. Truth was compromised. We now live in a society where that no one believes in the capital T truth, but in many lowercase t truths. But how did we get here? How on earth did we get here? I believe that there are very subtle jabs at the very foundation of truth and morality. I'm a firm believer of this. I believe that we as a Christian culture sometimes go at attacking the culture in a sense wrong. We hit more of the symptoms than we do the foundation. And what happens, the culture responds and they hit more of the foundations than our symptoms. And so we get all tangled up and so forth. And so what happens is that we embrace moral relativism. Moral relativism. But this is nothing new. Truth has been attacked always through Scripture. Has always been an attack on truth. If you're physically able, will you please stand with me as we read God's word? We're going to look at verses 37 in chapter 18 of John, verses 37 and 38. And Pilate asked him, he said, "You are a king then." "You say that I am a king," Jesus replied. And Jesus says this, "I was born for this. And I have come into the world for this." To what? Testify to the what? Truth. "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And then those famous words from Pontius Pilate, "What is truth?" Father, thank you so much for your grace, mercy, and love. Lord, teach us today. Father, use me as a vessel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, allow me to set the stage for us for a moment. Now, in the previous verses, we see, after the betrayal of Judas, we see some soldiers. In verse 12, we see some soldiers. And then some, the soldiers and the commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus, and they bound him up. They tied him up. Now, I'm just, you know, I'm like, man, you have all these people for one man. But that's another story. Verse 13, it says, "First they led him to Annas, since he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas." So they took him to Annas's place, Caiaphas's father-in-law's place. And here, during this time, they was questioning Jesus. And we'll get into those verses. But they were questioning Jesus. They were interrogating him. Then we get to verse 19. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Verse 20 says, "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus said. It's like, look, my stuff is in the air. You know, it's out there. I've spoken openly to all of you. "I have always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where all the Jews congregate, and I haven't spoken anything in secret. Why do you question me?" Jesus answered. "Question those who heard what I told them. Look, they know what I said." In other words, why don't you go ask them? They know what I said. If you want to know the truth, go ahead and ask them. I'm not hiding anything. And so when he had said these things, one of the officials standing by slapped Jesus. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" Verse 23, "If I have spoken wrongly," Jesus answered him, "give evidence about the wrong, but if rightly, why do you hit me?" Now, I'm sorry. This is pretty interesting to me. Because I can just imagine Jesus, you know, I'm just going back in my day. You know, somebody just hitting on him, and he's just sitting there, he's looking at him like, "I know you just didn't slap me." You know, it's like, yeah, okay, anyway. So, in verse 23, it says, "If I have spoken wrongly," Jesus answered him, "give evidence about the wrong. But if rightly, why do you hit me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas's place, the high priest. Sent them there. So now he is on his way to Caiaphas's place. He was there. And then they led Jesus from Caiaphas's place to the governor's headquarters. Now, this is Pilate's place. Pilate was the Roman governor of that day in Judea. Of course, in the political system, you had Rome had invaded, and they have become a world dominance then. So Pilate is over this section in Judea. And so they go there, and it was early morning, the Bible tells us, early in the morning. And they did not enter the headquarters themselves, otherwise they would be defiled and unable to eat the Passover. I'm not the smart cookie, but I mean, you're going to come with some people at my house early in the morning, I'm not going to answer the door. I'm just letting y'all know that. Yeah. But they came early in the morning. So in other words, they're in a rush. They're in a hurry because the Passover is getting ready to happen. It took them there, and they did not want to enter into the headquarters of Pilate, the Gentile, the Roman governor. Now, I don't know about you, but they just hit, you know, Jesus. In other the Gospels, they talk about him getting slapped, spit on, mocked, maligned. But yet, they don't see anything wrong with that. But they see something wrong in going to a Gentile's home. They'll be defiled if they go. But nothing is wrong with hitting Jesus. And so, to me, it seemed as if they cared more about their traditions than the truth. And so in verse 29, so Pilate came out to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" So what charge do you bring against this man here? And they answered him, "If this man weren't a criminal, we wouldn't have handed him over to you." Okay, now, he's the governor. You talking to him like that? Like, you know, trust us. We know what we're doing. 31, verse 31, Pilate told them, "You take him and judge him according to your laws." Then we get to the heart of the matter. "It is not legal for us to put anyone to death," the Jews declared. So their whole mission was to kill Jesus. They were in a hurry. They wanted to participate in the Passover because if they touch a dead body, of course, they have to wait several days before they are able to be considered clean. And so, the story goes on in verse 33. Then Pilate went back into the headquarters, summoned Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Verse 34, it says, Jesus answered, "Are you asking this on your own, Pilate? Are you really asking this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate says, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Notice that the people still didn't tell Pilate the charge. Verse 36, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." And so in verse 37, Pilate asked Jesus, "You are a king then. You are a king." I wonder if Jesus said in his mind, "No, I am the king. I am the king, not a king. I am the king." So Pilate was looking for a political king. You know, he didn't want Jesus to overthrow Rome or have a threat to Rome, so to say. And so as Jesus continues his response, he says, "You say that I am a king," Jesus replied. And your first point, it says, the mission. We see the mission here. Brian Chappell, he's a seminary president and senior pastor, he tells a story that happened in his hometown. Two brothers were playing on the sandbanks by the river. How many of y'all played on sandbanks when you were little? Threw rocks and stuff and hit people in the head and so forth? Yeah. Y'all were that ones, right? So one ran after another up a large mound of sand. Unfortunately, the mound was not solid and their weight caused them to sink in quickly. When the boys did not return home for dinner, the family and neighbors organized a search. They found the young brother unconscious with his head and shoulders sticking out above the sand. When they cleared the sand to his waist, he awakened. The searchers asked, "Where is your brother?" The child replied, "I'm standing on his shoulders." The whole entire purpose, the mission, was to be right where he is at that moment. He was born to die. He was born to die. His whole mission was to reconcile us back to a holy God, that we may know the truth, that Jesus is the way, the only way. He is not one of many ways. He is not some of the ways, but the way. Paul says in Colossians 2:8, be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than Christ, for the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. Romans 5, Paul says, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was born to die. He came to die. Jesus might as well have said this, yeah, I've been spat on. I've been beaten. I've been mocked. I've been slapped. And then later we'll be beaten unrecognizably and placed on a cross. But he was born for this. All that you may know the truth. Know the truth. This is his mission. So Jesus standing before Pilate. I was born for this. Yeah, you can mock me. You can spit on me. You can slap me. But I was born for this. I was born for this. That you may have life. So next we see, as he shared his mission, next we see the method. Next we see the method. He said, I was born for this, and I have come into the world for this. In other words, he was telling Pilate, says, Mr. Brother Pilate, I'm not from here. I'm not from here. This is not my original domain. In fact, the method in which I chose to come was in flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not a God, but the Word was God. It was the Son from eternity who became incarnate, the Son who is in eternal relation to the Father in spirit, the one who humbled himself and chose to assume a human nature in obedience to his Father and for our salvation. Pilate, I'm not from here. I'm not from here. You see, our society thwarts the truth of God's word. It thwarts the truth of who Jesus is. There are some misconceptions out there concerning who Jesus is and where he's from. Some say he was part of the created order. You know, he was created as man and later achieved God status. Others say that Jesus was really Michael the Archangel who became a man. So he was a perfect man, not God in the flesh. Some would say that he was just a good man. Others would say he is one of many, while some believe that he was a mythical character. Listen to me closely. There was a virgin conception. Amen. And the birth happened in Bethlehem, aka the house of bread, right? Amen. But his birth did not mark the beginning of his life. Rather, it marked the Lamb of God, the chief cornerstone, the bread of life, the wonderful counselor, the priest, the prophet, the king, the prince of peace, the Emmanuel, the author and finisher of our faith, the eternal Son, entering physically into our world and becoming one of us, Jesus the Christ. Jesus insinuated that I'm not from here. Paul wrote in Philippians, he said, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The method he used was to take on flesh. Jesus. I kind of see Pilate's face. He's not getting it. He's not understanding it. He's not getting it. He came to take on flesh. So we see his mission. We see the method. Lastly, we see the message. We see the message. Now, we're not going to get out of here like in 2 minutes. It's going to take a little longer. He says, I have come into the world for this, to testify to the what?
Truth.
In a Barna poll, the question was asked, is moral truth absolute or relative? Is it absolute or relative? Well, 21% said they never really thought about it. Not at all. Just, you know, I haven't never thought about any of that. 35% said that it is absolute. That is absolute. 44% said moral truth was relative. Moral truth was relative. In a series of more than 20 interviews conducted at a random large university, people were asked if there was such a thing as absolute truth, you know, truth that is true across all times and cultures for all people. All but one responded, answered according along these lines. He said, truth is whatever you believe. So your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth. There is no absolute truth, number two. Number three, if there were such a thing as absolute truth, how could we know what it is? And lastly, this is interesting, people who believe in absolute truth are dangerous. Jesus said that he came into this world to testify to the aletheia, the truth. So no, Jesus did not resurrect as a spirit. No, Jesus' body was not destroyed. No, Jesus did not swoon. No, Jesus was not a normal man who observed the law and became the Messiah. No, God did not adopt him at his baptism. No, Jesus was not the first created thing. Jesus was truly God. He is truly God, truly human. He is one person. There are in him two distinct natures, divine and human. He is co-equal, co-eternal. He is the Son of God. This is interesting. Truth was on trial. See, he was interrogated. Pilate now is the judge, basically. Truth is on trial. Truth was beaten. Truth was spat on. Truth was maligned. Truth was trampled on. Truth, they tried to silence the truth. They tried to stop the truth. They tried to hide the truth. Now, but let me allow you on a little secret real quick. You know, the title of this sermon may be a little bit misleading because no matter how society tries to diminish the truth, thwart the truth, do away with the truth, there is one fact that still remains true. One early morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb, and lo and behold, the stone was rolled away. No one in the tomb but the linen cloths lying there folded up. What happened to truth? The soldiers didn't take him. The disciples didn't take him. He didn't just wake up and from being unconscious, walk over to the stone and moved it himself. An angel, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb, rolled it back, and Jesus rose from the grave. The truth lives. Amen. Long live the King. The truth lives. Today, we got everybody trying to tell us that we have all these different truths. It's good, whatever you want to do. It's good for you, it's good for you. There's one truth, one absolute truth. Jesus reigns.
Amen.
He lives. Pilate asked the question, what is truth? What is truth? Well, Pilate, you're standing right in front of him. Jesus is the truth. He is the truth. You know, I'm saddened how our generation here is believing everything but the truth. And what saddens me even more is that Christians, evangelicals, are even buying into the hype. It's only one truth. Whether we like it or not, there's only one truth. We can say that there are many truths out there, but whether we like it or not, there is only one truth. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. What are you going to do with the truth? As a matter of fact, what are you doing with the truth? How are you going to handle the truth? How can we apply this to our lives today? How can we take this truth and apply it to our lives today? Well, I'm glad you asked. There are, I think 15 more bags left in the Welcome Center that have kids' names on them. You see, our kids this past week was able to listen to the truth. Teachers toiled day after day after day to present the truth. They sat here under the truth. But there are 15 more individuals out there who need some more of the truth. So, as you leave after the message, not now, they will be out there in the Welcome Center. We just need 15 families to take a bag. Inside that bag, you'll see some instructions. You can either, A, go to the house, drop the bag off, and say, hey, we enjoyed you being at VBS this week. Anything that we can do, pray for, anything. Or number two, this is the other option, you can call. Because we want everybody to know the what?
Truth.
The kids these days my sons are getting brought up in an age where they're saying that we don't need to know the truth. So let us, after service, go and not run each other over, but go out there and grab those 15 bags. Kids who need to hear the truth. Kids who need to hear the truth. I close with a story. Years ago on a TV talk show, the Archbishop of Canterbury was speaking with actress Jane Fonda. He said, Jesus is the Son of God, you know. Fonda replied, maybe he is for you, but he's not for me. To which the Archbishop answered, well, either he is or he isn't. See, although most Americans and even a large percentage of evangelical Christians reject the idea of absolute truth in the spiritual realm, that doesn't undermine the fact of it. Jesus is the truth, and he testified to the truth, and he is the King. If you are of the truth, you will hear his voice and submit your life to him. Amen. Jesus is the truth. A lot of times people don't understand that Jesus is the truth because they don't believe that God's word is the truth. Well, if y'all heard my message last time, we understand that God's word is living and active. Amen. If that's true, we understand that Jesus is the truth. How are we going to handle the truth? What are we going to do with the truth? Please let that truth penetrate the depths of our hearts that we may spread the truth of the gospel of Christ to a lost and dying generation, world at that. Y'all pray with me. Father, we are so grateful. Lord, you love us. We thank you for your Son, Christ, who is the truth. Lord, we thank you for him coming and dying on our behalf that we may have life. There's so many people hurting. in our world today. In fact, we've seen two individuals who are well known take their own lives. Father, it keeps ringing in my mind, if they only knew the truth. Who will go for us? Who will go for you? Who will go out there and talk and tell and spread the truth? Lord, it can be comfortable in our own seats. We can stay and chill and relax and have the truth to ourselves, but you want others to understand and know the truth as well. So I pray that you speak to the hearts and minds of the people in this room today. If they don't know you, if they don't know the truth, I pray that they will today. We love you. It's in your Son, Christ's name we pray. Amen.